الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, we continue with the تفسير of سورة آل عمران, تفسير الشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمة الله عليه, the book تفسير الكريم الرحمن في تفسير كلام المنان. Excellent commentary on the speech of Allah تبارك وتعالى. And at ayah 162, which we didn't begin, and we will begin this morning, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, I say, billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, Allah says, أَفَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ كَمَنْ بَاءَ بِسَخَطٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَمَأْوَاهُ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ هُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. The interpretation of the meaning in English is, is then one who follows or seeks good pleasure of Allah by not taking illegally a part of the booty, like the one who draws on himself the wrath of Allah by taking a part of the booty illegally, ghulul, which we discussed last week. His abode is hell, and worse indeed is that destination. Wa alaykum salam. They are in varying grades with Allah, varying from variation. They are in varying grades with Allah, and Allah is all seer of what they do. So the Shaykh said, يخبر تعالى أنه لا يستوي من كان قصده رضوان الله أو من كان كان الولد قائما كان الولد قائما من كان قصده رضوان ربه والعمل على ما يرضيه كمن ليس كذلك ممن هو مكب على المعاصي مسخط لربه. الله عز وجل informs us that they are not equal. The one whose aim and intent is attaining the pleasure of Allah and doing that which brings about Allah's pleasure, he's not equal, is not like the one who is indulged in disobedience and that which brings about his Allah's wrath, his master's wrath. هذان لا يستويان في حكم الله وحكمة الله. Let's see the linguists here. What is their commentary? في حكم الله وفي حكمة الله. What's the difference between them?
حكم is the command of Allah. حكمة is Allah's wisdom.
حكم is
the command of Allah.
في حكم الله. Here it comes مجرور. في حكم الله صح. It's the command of Allah. حسن.
حكمة is the wisdom of Allah.
The wisdom of Allah. Who agrees? You agree? Good. وفي فطر عباد الله. إذن وفي فطر عباد الله, and in the natural disposition of the slaves of Allah. So on these three levels, وعليكم السلام, the one who is striving to please Allah and the one who is attaining Allah's wrath are not equal. في حكم الله, meaning the way Allah judges them. Say command or judgment here. وعليكم السلام. وعليكم السلام. Here the حكم can mean judgment. Even though your translation is accurate, but you know it has multiple meanings. In this context, it's the judgment of Allah. Meaning Allah will not judge them equally. في حكمة الله, Allah's wisdom entails that these people are not treated equally. حتى في فطر عباد الله. And us, amongst us, we cannot treat the disobedient and the obedient equally. You don't find it within yourself. You find that necessity to show enmity to the enemy of Allah and to show love to the wali of Allah. And wali of Allah is not in the modern Sufi shirki context. Wali of Allah meaning someone that you ask for assistance through or some intermediary with Allah. No, wali of Allah is, as Allah described them, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those who believe and used to have taqwa. Any one of us here, we ask Allah to make us among them, can be the wali of Allah, period. It's not someone that they build a shrine over his grave and then they give him the title wali of Allah after he died, even though he could be burning in his grave, as far as Allah is concerned. Hey. فَأَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. In another ayah Allah said, so is the one who is a believer, like he who is defiantly disobedient, they are not equal. لِهَذَا قَالَ هُنَا هُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. This is what Allah said in this ayah, they are at varying degrees with Allah Azza wa Jal. أي كل هؤلاء متفاوتون في درجاتهم ومنازلهم بحسب تفاوتهم في أعمالهم. So they are in varying degrees with Allah because of the variation in their deeds as well. So the one who strives more is higher in degree than the one who strives less. Even though they may all be at some degrees with Allah, it depends on the effort exerted in the process. فالمتبعون لرضوان الله فالمتبعون لرضوان الله يسعون في نيل الدرجات العاليات والمنازل والمنازل والغرفات. This is an indication that I have an issue. Those who are striving to attain Allah's pleasure, وعليكم السلام, they strive in attaining the highest degrees. والمنازل, we are right behind فندق منزل. Right, isn't it? Funduk manzil, habitat, hotel. Manzil is your home. So they're seeking homes. Wa ghurfa, ghurufat. Where does it come in the Quran? Who can give us an ayah where the term ghurufat or ghurfa in the singular comes in the Quran? Let's see the shuyukh and the mashayikh. Ayah in the book of Allah where the term ghurfa or ghurufat is mentioned. Allah yahdina wa iyyakum. Yalla jama'at al-khair, don't disappoint me, this is being recorded. Everyone who hears this in the future will know that the students didn't know. Come on guys. Surah Al-Furqan. أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا وَيُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاؤُكُمْ فَقَدْ كَذَّبْتُمْ فَسَوْفَ يَكُونُ لِزَامًا. The end of Surah Al-Furqan. أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ, the room. And another surah, the actual term ghurufat appears, which I don't recall. But at least we needed one. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. طيب. فيعطيهم الله من فضله وجوده على قدر أعمالهم. Allah Azza wa Jal will give them from His immense bounty and His generosity proportional to their deeds. The better they work, the more Allah Azza wa Jal will give them. والمتبعون لمساخط الله يسعون في النزول في الدركات إلى أسفل سافلين كل على حسب عمله والعياذ بالله. On the other hand, those who are striving to attain Allah's wrath, then they are also kind of competing in how low they can get until they reach أسفل سافلين, the lowest of the low. And each will be according to his deeds. والله بصير بأعمالهم لا يخفى عليه منها شيء. And Allah is all seeing of all of their deeds, both parties. None of their deeds is something which is unknown or hidden from Allah Azza wa Jal. بل قد علمها وأثبتها في اللوح المحفوظ ووكل ملائكته الأمناء الكرام أن يكتبوها ويحفظوها ويضبطوها. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jal has known it, and He has kept it firm in al-lawh al-mahfuz, the preserved tablet, and He had assigned angels, umana, trustworthy, kiram, honorable, umana, they will not cheat, honorable, they will not betray, and yaktubuha, that they write it, and they memorize it, and they keep it intact. A quick comment here on the statement to أثبتها في اللوح المحفوظ. اللوح المحفوظ, you've heard this term before? It's the preserved tablet which with Allah Azza wa Jal. Does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know what is in the preserved tablet? I need an agreement on this, either yes or no. Because I see some people are, you know, doubtful, hoping someone else would answer. Huh?
We also died.
So the Prophet ﷺ told us, you know, my nation will divide into 73 sects. There will come a time, Jesus will come. All these are from the unseen.
That's because Allah showed, told Prophet Muhammad.
Okay. So he knows the unseen.
That's because Allah told him.
Tell him, he told him the unseen, so now he knows the unseen. If I told you that I have 5 riyals, now you know that I have 5 riyals.
Yes. Now it's not unseen.
Still, how is it not unseen? People didn't see it then. It is still unseen. It's in the future. I'm trying to trick you. Don't worry.
Only part of the unseen. Only part.
Okay, beautiful. That's one way to say it. Well, obviously, but now we have a conflict here with a huge denomination of Muslims, who the Sufis in particular, who honor and venerate, or let's not, they dishonor and disrespect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the name of loving him and praising him and venerating him. So you will find in this lousy Mawlid al-Nabawi, usually there's a very preferred poem known as Al-Qasidat al-Burda. You heard it before?
Yes.
And what does this guy say in this poem about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Time out. What did he say? He said, وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمُ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ. Listen to this shirk and kufr. Min is a preposition to or which denotes part of something. I took a slice of the pizza. Here it means of the pizza. I have a box. I have a car. No, I took a piece. Let's say with a slice of pizza, meaning out of the whole pizza, I took a slice. Min litab'ir. Min ulumika. Ulumika is a plural singular. What's the singular? Ilmika. Min ulumika, he said to the Prophet ﷺ in praising him. Part of your, and in English, knowledge is not pluralized. But we have to do it right now so you will understand. Part of your knowledge is, if we may, part of your knowledge is, not one knowledge, no, he has many knowledge, a lot of knowledge, abundance of knowledge. Ilmu, the knowledge of Al-Lawh, the preserved tablet, wal-qalami, and the pen which Allah commanded to write everything, which will happen from the time Allah commanded the pen until the end of time. What did he say, Prophet ﷺ? Part of your knowledge. Part of your knowledge is everything in the Lawh al-Mahfuz and the pen. What did they leave for Allah? If this was part of his knowledge, and we know Allah knows everything in the preserved tablet and everything the pen wrote, which is everything, that means that the Prophet ﷺ knows more than Allah. Because min ulumika ilmu al-lawhi wal-qalami. This is what the Sufis like and entertain. And this is the poem which they recite in the Mawlid al-Nabawi. And now we add, at some point in time, everyone stands. Why? Hadra. Hadrat mean? Hadrat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paid him a visit. So out of honor, they stand for him. Even though we learn in the hadith that the Sahaba used to say, like Anas, we used to love and respect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much. Yet we would never stand when he would arrive because we knew how much he hated that. But the Sufis don't follow hadith. They follow tariqah. They follow innovations. They follow bid'ah and khurafat, fairy tales. So be careful. Be careful who you learn from. And these statements of shirk and disbelief may take someone outside of Islam. So only Allah knows what is in Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz. Allah Azza wa Jal told us at the end of Surah Al-Jinn that He will convey some of that information to His chosen messengers so they may convey it to the people. So there's limited ideas, limited information which they were told because this is from their miracles. This is from the things which are a must for their followers to know about in order to take the necessary precautions and what have you. This is why they knew some of the events which would happen in the future. Not that the Prophet ﷺ knew everything which is going to happen in the future. And not that he is equal with Allah in knowledge. Because only Allah knows everything. Even to the Prophet ﷺ, Allah told him, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Say, my Lord, increase me knowledge. If he knew everything, what would be the point of asking Allah to give him more knowledge? These ayat will be rendered invalid. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. All these will become meaningless ayat. According to these innovated understandings of these Sufis and their likes. So we Muslims follow one path. One path which guarantees Jannah, that of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, embodied in the understanding of the Sahaba, the generation that followed them, and the generation which followed them, including the four Imams and the Ulama, which the Muslims have accepted as being the Ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That's it. Anything else, we don't entertain. Any other organization, any other sect, dividing the Ummah into sects and groups, we have our own book, our own way, our own Shaykh, and whatever he says, everyone does, we don't have that Islam. This is not the Al-Firqa Najiyah. This is not the same sect. So we need to be very careful, my brother, especially when you go back to your home countries. I know these things are commonly spread. Here, yani, you may survive on your own. Back home, it's difficult. So you need to hold on to the Sunnah strictly and abandon innovators and their innovations, because as you see, they make claims which will render someone a disbeliever after their belief. Nasallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we don't declare disbelief against anyone. This is for the scholars, but we say these are statements of disbelief. إذن لقد من الله آية 164 لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. الله عز وجل, indeed Allah conferred a great favor on the believers when He sent among them a messenger from among themselves, reciting unto him his ayat, and purifying them from sins by their following him, and instructing them in the book and the hikmah, the wisdom and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While before that they had been in manifest error. The Shaykh said, هذه المنة التي امتن الله بها على عباده أكبر النعم بل أصلها. This favor which Allah has bestowed upon His slaves is the greatest of bounties, nay, rather it is the fundamental bounty, the foundational bounty. وهي الامتنان عليهم بهذا الرسول الكريم الذي أنقذهم الله به من الضلالة. And it is the favor of Allah upon them through this noble messenger whom Allah saved them with from misguidance. وَعَصَمَهُمْ بِهِ مِنَ الْهَلَكَةِ. And Allah protected them from destruction. فَقَالَ لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ يَعْرِفُونَ نَسَبَهُ وَحَالَهُ وَلِسَانَهُ مِنْ قَوْمِهِمْ وَقَبِيلَتِهِمْ نَاصِحًا لَهُمْ مُشْفِقًا عَلَيْهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ أَوْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُعَلِّمُهُمْ أَلْفَاظَهَا وَمَعَانِيهَا. So Allah bestowed upon the believers this favor that He sent a messenger from amongst them. They know his lineage, they know his condition, they know the language which he speaks, they know his tribe, he's advising them, he is compassionate over them, and he recites unto them the ayat of Allah. And he teaches them the verbal recitation of the ayat and the meaning. The verbal recitation and the meaning. So that's why you find that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when speaking about Allah's names and attributes, we say that the Sahaba had ijma', consensus, that the Sahaba believed the face value of the ayat which Allah Azza wa Jal described Himself with in these ayat. Like the quality of the face and the quality of the hands, ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام بل يداه مبسوطتان تجري بأعيننا إلى آخره من الآيات which reflect Allah's names and attributes. We believe in them just as Allah described Himself. So Allah has a face. They say why? Because Allah said He had a face. They say, but they, you know, we have faces. Say, yeah, I know. But there's nothing like Allah. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Your face is not like the face of Allah. They say to you, like the Mu'tazilites and the Ash'arites, they say, no. Once you say you have a face, and Allah has a face, you are resembling Allah to His creation, and Allah is not like His creation, so you can no longer say Allah has a face. Say, okay, sure. Do you have a life? Yes. Does Allah have a life? Say, sure. Say, according to you, Allah doesn't have a life, because you have a life. So if you're able to understand that Allah has a life, not like yours, then understand Allah has a face, not like yours. Do you hear? Sure. Does Allah hear? Sure. According to you, Allah doesn't hear. Why? Because you're here. And if you say that Allah has a quality which you have, then you can no longer say Allah hears. Then now what? Now what? Then you continue to do this until you don't have a God anymore. You're worshipping non-existence. This is the best definition of something which is non-existent. That's how they describe Allah. So we believe. If someone says, what's the evidence that the Sahaba believed that, we say the fact that they never said anything other than that. But the Prophet ﷺ was teaching them the meaning and the words. We don't have a hadith where a Sahabi said, oh Messenger of Allah, does the face of Allah mean the honor? Or does it mean face? Never did they ask this question. And they read the ayah in the Arabic millions of times. وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ. They know what that means in the language. And they accepted it as is. The Prophet ﷺ himself, the teacher, never said, time out. This doesn't mean that. And hands means bounty. It doesn't mean the hands of Allah. Never. And we challenge anyone to bring any narration, even if it's da'if. They will not be able to do so. So we say they agreed then about these attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, and this, and their righteous predecessors conveyed them to us in the same fashion. When did that change? When the Muslims started spreading into various countries, Christians and philosophers and what have you entered into Islam, they were not well versed in the Arabic language, so they started to apply their philosophical principles on the names and attributes of Allah, and this is how we got the Ash'arites and the Mu'tazilites and the Jahmites, and the list goes on. With Greek philosophical principles of understanding God, not those of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah had to refute them and compile books, and among the greatest scholars who dedicated his life to defending this aqidah and the sunnah is Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, and his student Shaykh al-Islam ibn Qayyim and Ibn Kathir and al-Dhahabi. And many people who hate Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah have in their home Tafsir ibn Kathir, and they don't know that Ibn Kathir is Ibn Taymiyyah's student. So if you hate the first, you need to hate the second man, because he taught him everything he knows. But these are ignorant people. They don't even know that these two shuyukh are closely related. So they, Ibn Kathir, not Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah is a Wahhabi. The Habibi Imam Abdul Wahhab came 200 years ago. How can Shaykh al-Islam be a Wahhabi 700 years ago? How can you refer him to a group which the people gave that name? It's just Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Anyone who didn't like them, they called him Wahhabi. How can you give him that title when he came 500 years before him? It's called jahl, ignorance, blind following, bigoted sectarianism. People just love to, you know, talk and gir. They don't know what they're saying. Once they see you speak about Tawheed, be careful of this Wahhabi. Don't learn from him. You want me to speak about shirk, yani? You don't like Tawheed? You have a problem with Tawheed? I don't understand. Anytime you speak about the sound deen, titles and labels are given to you so that they scare the people away. So anyone who comes from another country, they warn him. Make sure you don't take any books from the da'wah centers there. And make sure you don't learn from anyone there. These are Wahhabis, Saudi Arabia Wahhabi Muslims. So the person comes here, you know, all afraid. Every time he sees something, Wahhabi. And he comes ignorant, and he leaves more ignorant. than when he came, as opposed to learning and benefiting and getting the sound deen in its sound references, as opposed to Mawlana Fulan and Mawlana Batikh, where the knowledge is imposed on you and you're not allowed to think, use your mind, or to even fetch for better evidences.
What is the difference between Hanafi and
Wahhabi? After the death, inshallah. Don't bring Hanafis into the picture, man. We want to leave this place alive. Yeah, we'll talk about it, inshallah, in a little bit. طيب. إذن يعلمهم ألفاظها ومعانيها ويزكيهم, and he purifies them. This is why zakah is called zakah. It purifies your money. And when else is zakah used? Try. Zakah is used in another meaning in the Quran very often. Besides the zakatul mal, wa yutuna zakah, we agree this is the money. The zakah, the third pillar of Islam. But when else is zakah used, and for what? Zakatul fitr in the Quran? Sadaqatul, ya salam alayk ya shaykh. Zakatul fitr, sadaqatul fitr, both are names that the people gave. It's the sunnah from the sunnah. And it's not even used in these words in the sunnah. Ma fi mushkila. We want the Quran. And we're not speaking about zakah of money. The other meaning of zakah in the Quran. Give me an ayah, jama'ah. You guys, if you don't know this, I'm going to leave, inshallah. Yet if you have the last part of the Quran memorized, even the last few surahs, you can pull out at least three. Give me the Arabic. Nobody has Surah Al-A'la memorized. You hear it every Jum'ah for the sake of Allah. Surah Al-A'la. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّى. No, this is no, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. And the other surah, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّى وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا كَذَّبَ الثَّمُودُ بِطَغْوَاهَا إِلَى الْآخِرَةِ. These are two, and we can give more. In Surah Al-Layl, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. Here it's not the zakah of money. Here zakah is the purification of the soul. Purifying oneself from shirk, from evil deeds, from innovations. The purity of the soul is the term tazkiyah is also used. Even among the ulama, they say he gave him tazkiyah, meaning he praised them so that you can take knowledge from him. So, وَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ اتَّقَى. Do not purify yourselves, as in do not praise yourselves here. Don't pray, say, I am this, I am that. Don't do that. Allah knows best who is the person of taqwa. So tazkiyah could mean the third pillar of Islam, and it could mean what? Purification. The root word, the Arabic meaning, entertains both purifying money or purifying the soul. So tazkiyah here and tazkiyah there. Zakah here and zakah there, because the Arabic word means to purify something. So then when you zakih him, means that he gives them zakah or he purifies them. The Prophet ﷺ, Allah bestowed his favor upon the believers, that he sent a messenger from among them. يَتْرُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَيَاتُ. He recites upon them the ayat of Allah. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. That means he gives them zakah or he purifies them. He purifies them. Why am I telling you this? Because you may hear يُزَكِّيهِمْ and your mind may go to the zakah of money. And you will misunderstand the book of Allah because of misunderstanding the multiple meanings the word may have. So when you hear yuzakihim, it doesn't mean he gives them zakah. It means he purifies them. The Shaykh explained, مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَالْمَعَاصِ وَالرَّذَائِلِ وَسَائِرْ مَسَوِي الْأَخْلَاقِ. He purifies them from shirk and disobedience and lowliness and all kinds of evil character. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ إما جنس الكتاب الذي هو القرآن. He teaches them the book. The Shaykh said it could mean the kind of book which is the Quran. The kitab, he can mean the Quran. فيكون قوله تعالى يتلو عليهم آياته المراد به الآيات الكونية. So then, if that is the meaning, then when he said يتلو عليهم آياته, he recites unto them Allah's ayat. And I don't wish to use verses. I don't wish to use verses as a translation for ayah. as Brother Uman had indicated before, because it is not an adequate translation. Verse, first, linguistically is used in where? Where do you hear the word verse in the English language? Forget about the deen.
In chapter that goes on with the same subject.
No, no, that's chapter.
In
what? In an essay? You see verses in an essay? Before the Bible, in English.
Poetry.
In poetry, you have verse 1, verse 2, and what have you. So first, the term verse is usually affiliated with poetry. That's the first option, which is not very lovely. The second option is the Bible, the biblical verses. So when we translate ayah to one of these two, we have actually confined the meaning, even though the meaning is way more superior. Ayah means sign, miraculous sign, something that the people cannot match, something unparalleled, right? And if you read the Quran, you will find that ayat is used often not only for the ayat of the Quran, rather the signs which Allah gave to the prophets, the miracles which Allah gave to the prophets were called also ayat. Inna fi dhalika la ayat wa ma kana aktaruhum mu'mineen. This occurs often in Surah Al-Shu'ara. Verily in that there's a sign for the people. So we don't want to use verse, because verse doesn't really do it. It's a limited, it could mean the verse, we say, the miraculous ayah of the Quran. We say ayah of the Quran, you know we're speaking about the ayah of the book of Allah. So the Shaykh said, if the Quran here, if the kitab means the Quran, then the ayah, which Allah said earlier, yatlu alayhim ayatih, means the miraculous universal signs of Allah. And not the ayah of the Quran. The miraculous signs, the sun and the moon and the rain and what have you, the signs within us and what have you. أو المراد بالكتاب هنا الكتابة فيقول قد امتن عليه بتعليم الكتاب والكتابة التي بها تدرك العلوم وتحفظ. Or what the ayah could mean here is the teaching the book and writing. So Allah will have bestowed His favor upon them by teaching them writing, which is among the means with which knowledge is kept and preserved. And the Sahaba used to write the book, the ayat of the Quran, and they used to write the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. والحكمة هي السنة التي هي شقيقة القرآن. حكمة is the sunnah. شقيقة is the sister. Quran's sister. So you will find that Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah do not have this deviated understanding that it's Quran, then Sunnah, then Ijma', then Qiyas. We have Quran and Sunnah, Ijma' and Qiyas. Quran and Sunnah go hand in hand. If it's sahih, its value, its effectiveness, and its application is exactly equivalent to the Quran. When you get an ayah from the book of Allah or an authentic hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, we don't have this order of importance. We number them because you have to put things in number. You say Ahmad is number 1, Rabi'ah is number 2, Muhammad number 3. I don't mean Ahmad is the first and this is the second, third in importance. I just mean I have to have a list of names and you have to number them. You can't put them all in the same number. So even though we say Quran and Sunnah, we don't mean Quran and Sunnah. We mean Quran and Sunnah, because they play the same role. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَلَا إِنِّي أُوتِيتُ الْقُرْآنَ وَمِثْلَهُ. In one of the narrations, أَوْكَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, I've been given the Quran and that which is equal to it. He has been given something equal. I have left behind. مَا إِنْ تَزْمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِ فَلَمْ تُضِلُّ أَبَدًا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّتِي. I have left behind that which if you hold on to, you'll never go astray. The book of Allah and my Sunnah. And if we didn't believe that, then all of the ayat where Allah says, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولُ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. All these ayat will not be understood unless we have a sunnah to refer to. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger. Okay, we obey Allah in the Quran. How will you obey the Messenger? In the sunnah. And Allah said, obey both of them. So they are equally important.
Sunnah means what Prophet did, not what he said.
No, it means what he did, what he said, and what he approved. It means three things. What he said, صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي, pray as you have seen me pray. This is a statement, that's the sunnah. What he did, the Sahaba describing him, the Prophet ﷺ, when he would begin the salah, he would do takbir and he would put his hands near his chest. Then he would do the same thing when he would go to ruku'. Then the same thing when getting up from ruku', speaking of the Hanafis. The Sahaba saw that. They conveyed that. That's the sunnah. What he said, what he did, and what he approved. Someone did something in his presence and he did not comment on it or did not that he corrected, meaning he approved it. Like the Sahabi who used to, when he lead the people in Salah, he would always end his recitation of Qul Huwallahu Ahad. And when that reached the Prophet ﷺ, he said, ask your companion, why does he do that? So they told him, the Prophet ﷺ said, why do you do that? He said, I love it. I love this act, this surah. So they said that to the Prophet ﷺ, they tell him, his love for the surah has admitted him to paradise. Anyways, he approved it. That's the sunnah taqririyah. Approved sunnah. So the sunnah is either what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, what he did, or what he approved, which happened in his presence. And that's a way more comprehensive definition than only what he said. Because there are some things which he did which he never spoke about. And there are some things which he spoke about that he never did. And there are some things which he neither did nor did he speak about, but someone did them and he allowed it. So that, you know, that is a very important definition. I'm glad you asked this question. طيب. Any further rebuttal will be inshallah after the dars. المهم والحكمة هي أيوة أو وضع الأشياء مواضيعها ومعرفة أسرار الشريعة. والحكمة can mean wisdom, which is placing things in their adequate places. It's like a حكمة is like a puzzle and you have a missing piece, and wisdom means that you go and put it right there. You don't put it on the side and you don't, you know, throw it over it and you don't do anything else. That's not wise. Wisdom is that you put it right where it belongs, right place, right time, right statement, what have you. This is hikmah. أو أسرار الشريعة, what is the secrets of the شرع, the law, the secrets of the law. فجمع لهم بين تعليم الأحكام وما به تنفذ الأحكام وما به تدرك فوائدها وثمراتها. So Allah Azza wa Jal combined for this ummah. لهم بين أيوة. First teaching them the law, the legislation, and how to apply it, the application of the laws and the legislation. And that with which you're able to benefit and reap the fruits of these of the application of these legal laws or the legislation. فَذَاقُوا بِهَذِهِ الْأُمُورُ الْعَظِيمَةِ بِهَذِهِ الْأُمُورُ الْعَظِيمَةِ جَمِيعَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ. So the Sahaba became superior through these great things, all of the creation. They became superior to all of the creation. وَإِنْ وَكَانُوا مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ الرَّبَّانِيِّينَ. So they became among the God-conscious scholars. العلماء الربانيين, those who are close to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ, even though before all of this, قبل بعثة هذا الرسول, before the advent of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, they were in manifest error. لَا يَعْرِفُونَ الطَّرِيقَ الْمُوصِلَ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ, they did not know the path which leads them to their master. وَلَا مَا يُزَكِّ النُّفُوسَ, and they did not know that which purifies their souls. وَيُطَهِرُهَا, and it cleans it. بَلْ مَا يُزَيِّنُ لَهُمْ جَهْلُهُمْ فَعْلُهُ, rather they used to be anything which their ignorance beautified and decorated and adored, they used to do it. وَلَوْ نَقَدَ ذَلِكَ عُقُولِ الْعَالَمِينَ, even though that action of theirs may negate the intellect of all of people. So they did something which is so abhorrent that no one in a sound mind does, which is wahdul banat, burying young girls alive. These were the juhal, the ignorant, the jahiliyyah among the people, the Quraysh, whom the Prophet was sent to. Can you bury a young girl alive? I mean, you must be a ruthless man. Must have absolutely no compassion, or you will bring alive. Not that they killed her first, that they bury her alive. Because she may become a source of dishonor for the tribe. She may go out with someone, do something that is inappropriate, and that may dishonor the whole tribe, so let's kill her from the beginning and save ourselves the headache. These were among the things. Others, like they described it, what he would make his god, his sanam, from dates. And then when he's traveling, when he gets hungry, he will eat it. And these silly things. They negated the minds of people. And this was the condition before Prophet ﷺ was sent to them. And then what did they become? They became the leaders of mankind. The most intellectual. The best worshippers of Allah Azza wa Jalla after the Prophets. The most noble of people. So much so that we speak about them until today. Until today we say Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Who is Abu Huraira? Do you think he had some big mansion, big castle, or he left a lot of money behind? He was starving most of his life. But until now you say, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Why? Because of their reaction to the knowledge which was conveyed to them, their honoring of this knowledge, Allah Azza wa Jalla honored them in the process. So these are the Sahaba and those who followed them in goodness. And I believe that we can, the next ayat are quite lengthy. Shall we deal with the first one at least? Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أولما أصابتكم مصيبة قد أصبتم مثليها قلتم أن هذا قل هو من عند أنفسكم إن الله على كل شيء قدير. Someone read the English please, or never mind, I got it. Or do you want to read it? Go ahead. Mustafa, you're here. يلا يا مصطفى. 165 الله يرضى عليك.
When a single disaster smites you, although you smote with one twice as great, you say, from where does this come to us? Say to them, it is from yourself because of your evil deeds, and Allah has power over all things.
Beautiful. The Shaykh said, هذا تسلية من الله تعالى لعباده المؤمنين حين أصابهم ما أصابهم يوم أحد وقتل منهم نحو سبعين. This is now Allah trying to comfort the believers concerning what had afflicted them on the day of Uhud, the battle of Uhud, and where many of them were killed. Around 70 of the Sahaba were killed. فقال الله إنكم قد أصبتم من المشركين مثليها. Allah told them, first you have gotten from the disbelievers something equal to that on the day of Badr, when you killed around 70 from the Sanadid, the most evil of the leaders of Quraysh. فقتلتم سبعين من كبارهم وأسرتم سبعين. You killed 70 among them and you kept as war captives another 70. فليهن الأمر والتخف المصيبة عليكم مع أنكم لا تستوون أنتم وهم. So let then the situation become easier for you and let the calamity become lighter upon you, even though you and them are not equal in any way, shape or form. فإن قتلاكم في الجنة وقتلاهم في النار. Your dead, your martyrs are in Jannah and their dead will be in the hellfire. And there's a huge difference between the two. Both died, but the destination is where the variation is. قلتم أن هذا أن هذا. And here we need to learn how to recite the Book of Allah correctly. Because in the language here, if you make a mistake in this alif, if you make this long vowel a short one, you will change the meaning. Surah Al-Fajr. What's the last ayah on the first page? يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّ لَهُ الذِّكْرَى. If you say وَأَنَّ لَهُ الذِّكْرَى, you have twisted the meaning to the exact opposite. Because anna is, it means the tawqeed. It's for emphasis and hyperbole. So when you say anna lahu dhikra, meaning he does have the right to remember now, the day that a human will remember, and he has the right to remember, but the ayah doesn't say that. Wa anna, meaning he does not have the right to remember now, after being given a whole lifetime for him to remember. So the very sound of the vowel, a change in the pronunciation will twist the meaning. So you must learn when there's an alif to give it an alif. When it's a fatha, to keep it a fatha. And don't do it the other way around. Here, وَأَنْ قُلْتُمْ أَنَّا هَذَا, not صراطي مستقيما. هيرو سي وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما. أن وذا فتحة here وأن فقلتم أن هذا. طيب أي من أين أصابنا ما أصابنا وزنا. So then they're saying from where, how come we have been afflicted with that calamity and why were we defeated. قل هو من عند أنفسكم. Saying to them, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying to them, it is from your own selves, it is what you have earned with your own hands. حين تنازعتم وعصيتم من بعد ما أراكم ما تحبون. This is after you disputed amongst yourselves and you disobeyed after Allah showed you that which you love, which is the war booty. فعودوا على أنفسكم باللوم واحذروا من الأسباب المردية. Then blame yourselves and be careful in the future from the destructive deeds. إن الله على كل شيء قدير. Verily Allah is able to do all things or everything is able. فأياكم سوء الظن بالله. Woe to you from assuming bad about Allah. فإنه قادر على نصركم. Allah is able to grant you victory. ولكن له أتم الحكمة في ابتلائكم ومصيبتكم ذلك. Rather, but Allah has the greatest wisdom in testing you and in that calamity which befell you. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَانْتَصَرَ مِنْهُمْ. If Allah willed, He would have defeated the disbelievers on His own without even your involvement. وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَ بَعْضَكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. But in order for Allah to test people through people, for people to be tested through people. With this, inshallah, we conclude the dars of today. And we have concluded ayah 165. Inshallah ta'ala, if we remain alive till next week and healthy, we'll be dealing with ayat 166, 167, and whatever else we'll be able to accomplish. Wa aqilu da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.